melanin, creativity, the flow of energy, justice, politics, money, jobs. A lot of things to talk about on the stage, especially when I'm addressing my melanin-filled individuals. And we decided to put it all in a playbook. That's right, you heard me, playbook. The guidelines to the melanated. Tune in and listen to the Melanin Playbook. We're waiting. Hey, and welcome back to the Melanin Playbook. It's good to be back with you guys on another episode to get our talk points in. And we're going to talk about Black marketing and presenting the culture.
Hey.
Okay, okay.
So basically, our breakdown of the day is how we are being viewed by the public, their thoughts and opinions of our culture, not knowing the in-depth process and the things that we go through by being a part of the culture. So a lot of people base being Black and living Black off of what they see on TV, whether you're watching all the Queen's Men, the Parkers, Moesha, Living Single, or even Insecure. You get your insight to the Black community, or in this case, the melanin community, off your views of what you see on TV, and you go off speculations thinking that you know what the existence of a Black individual go through. So I'm going to leave the floor open for the rest of you guys to talk.
And the way I feel like we lost, we just let everybody else dictate how we are viewed. And it's like, because all those shows that you mentioned, it seemed like it's still not us in those boardrooms. Because when I was watching, because I love the Parkers, but I was watching
it. Me too.
And I was like, okay, some of the stuff now that I'm older, and I guess that we're more open and aware of what's going on now, some of the stuff I'm like, okay, we really shouldn't have put ourselves out there like that, because it came off like we're angry, we're volatile. Like, okay, it's still little things that we put in there that portrays us in a light that is not favorable for us.
Yeah.
So I think that we still lost like how we are presented. And it's like we allowing somebody else, or maybe we do that because we know, you know, everybody like to watch a train wreck. So we know that's how we'll get out there like that. But it's like, okay, but is it really helping us?
Right. And I think the closest representation we got to real life was Insecure. I think Insecure was the closest thing that really logged us in and gave us the insight we needed for our community, for them to understand the struggles that we go through on a daily level, and not it be where either we're just barely making it or we're fighting out in public, so to speak.
And that was on a love. Insecure to me, like you said, was good. It was on a love day-to-day battle of a young Black woman and her friends, you know, saying that that show is very, very relatable versus some of these shows that have us a single mom or, you know, fighting and arguing in the family. So I really like Insecure. I think that was good.
Yeah. And then I think they always show us divorced, like, or recovering something, or we're going back to school late, or, you know, we married rich. Like, it's never. Only show I can say that I feel like was a great depiction of melanin field individuals to me personally was Living Single. I feel like Living Single really was real good, because from the start of it, it was everybody graduated out of college or breaking into their careers, doing what they set out to do. Every person of color on that show was involved in something very professional and very profound in what they did. And even though not all of the roles that they had paid high money, still, they were happy. Overton was happy to be a handyman. Sinclair was happy to be an actress. Regine was happy to be a buyer for a boutique. And then later on, found her passion of planning weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it did.
Yeah. I like Martin. I like the way they portrayed us in Martin. Because we still had that down, chill side, even though it was something from depicting like the image of us from a northerner standpoint, it still gave us a good view of us, I guess you could say. Like, we was chill, we like to have fun, we still strive for excellence, you know. It was, they was trying to be big, you know, Pam was doing her thing, and you know, so, but like, me personally, and I know I'm probably gonna make a lot of people mad with this right here, but I really don't care. Like, I'm not a fan of the way Tyler Perry portrays us. I feel like it goes very
together.
I'm down bad type.
You right. Like, like a mad black woman. She
like, you down bad is always a sad story.
I don't think it's the storyline that he does. I think it's the fact that it's redone so often and is not really showing like a positive start out. It's always just scandal, so to speak. Yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, she comes in, she's in a relationship, beat and battered. She finally, well, he puts her out. She go finds her another man. He treats her good. She runs back to the old man. She realizes she don't want that no more. Then she goes to the new man. They live happily ever. Like, it's almost the same line. And I'm a big Tyler Perry fan myself, but I can say, like, it would be great to see something where it's not that negative in our community, so to speak. It's not showing the black woman always being broken.
Yeah. I mean, they always portray the black woman, like, from not even necessarily, like, TV shows, like, certain commercials that we take will be viewed in a, oh, single mom. It's always that image that's put out there, and it doesn't help us in any kind of way, because now we're trying to break the image. But it's like, how can you do that when that's all that's, I mean, that's all we got is what the society view is. So we don't own anything as far as like how we push our stuff out there, like networks and stuff like that. So automatically right there, it's going to be hard for us. So, and then the people that we do have in position, they're not giving us that light. They're like, well, shoot, this sells.
So, you're right.
Being,
but it's also because we take the time to, we don't invest in the stuff that really depicts us in a great way. Like people didn't watch Pose like that. And that was a real true depiction of not only the LGBTQ community, but also of us as melanin individuals. Yeah. They didn't flock to Insecure until around season 2 or 3 when it took off. It's a lot of shows that we watched and it was like, okay, I don't know. It's not funny because it's showing a real side. And it's sometimes, and I'm like, you know what? Like, sometimes reality is hard to see. And sometimes it's entertaining. Like, Insecure was entertaining. I can remember me and Oz getting off of every episode and we're literally like going over the episode and breaking it down to our lives to figure out the situation.
Oh, yeah, I had what they call it, after the show, wind down.
A wind down.
So, yeah, we had to kind of like we did. I can remember having those conversations and us being like, I've been there before. And yeah, this has happened. And yeah, we done did this. And even, you know, even me and Oz being real close, we had even acknowledged that, okay, you know what? At one point, yeah, we was going through a different flow like Molly and Issa was. You know, like, both of us was doing our own thing.
And then be and like, but everybody want to see the good times and, you know what I'm saying, share the funny moments and everything. Nobody wants to ride or even watch or listen at the hardest moment of people's lives. You know?
True.
If you ain't walking around hollering, screaming, or cussing and shooting, you don't want to see it.
Right. Because people love to watch a train wreck. That's, it sells.
In our community, they love to watch the train wreck.
Drama sells. That's what that is. Like, no one wants to watch anything positive. Like, you can even go down to reality TV. Like, I'm not a reality TV person. Her and Queen know that. I will not sit there and watch that. Like, but when it first started, I can say this. When it did first start, I was watching it. However, it just...
I left New York was my favorite one. I'm sorry. I had to put that out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. I ain't gonna front. I did rock with it. I did rock with it. It just seemed like it was more natural and genuine then. Like, now it's like, okay, now we trying to look bad. Like, it wasn't, you know, you would have somebody, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it was certain shows that were, though. Like, College Hill, you know, Real World, the earlier Real World. And stuff, Making the Band, even. Maybe he did. Like, it was... It was certain stuff that was real, and then it was certain stuff. It was like, "What are y'all doing? What are y'all trying to show?"
Like, y'all putting on.
It was a whole fad of people throwing drinks on people. Like, "Oh, I'm throwing a drink on you, B." Like, good God!
Right. It's like, why do you? Why are we doing all that? Like, I don't like catty. I don't like seeing us in the image because, to be honest, a lot of time we're not even like that. You just doing that because it sells.
But then again, we wonder where they get the thought process of that we're aggressive by nature.
True.
Where that thought come from. And I think it's black marketing. It's how the melanin individual is marketed. And we're viewed as, okay, I'll throw a drink or pop off in a fight at any moment. Mm-hmm. Because even on the Parkers, Nikki was always talking about whooping somebody ass every single episode. Yeah. If you go watch it, it was never an episode she didn't threaten either beat somebody else or King. Mm-hmm.
Very valid.
That's a typical black woman.
Yeah. And it goes back to, I don't want to keep doing that, but I mean, it do date back to how we were treated. Like, we were put on to be fighting and arguing with each other. Like, we had to fight. Like, y'all seen the Django? Like, we literally
were the Django, the D is silent.
The Django.
That's how the dude got shot in the movie, because he kept saying the Django.
It's the
Django. Like, the D is silent.
Well, it's why Django. You got it there? Don't be putting it there if you don't want me to say it. It's the Django.
Django.
So, I mean, like, we got to really break it. Like, we got to be like, all right, you know what? We can't keep taking money because, you know, they'll sprinkle money on you. Hey, act like this. Yeah. I give you this. So, it's like, okay, at what cost? Like, we taking money to act a fool, and then now we're damaging our children's, their children, all these people's lives. Like, after, like, we think about it as self when it's really not just about you. Because these people know what they're doing. They know money don't really mean anything, but they know that breaking you down as a culture means so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you gonna take the bait. You can't keep taking the bait now.
Yeah, but we do, because we trying to make the buck, and we don't want to go the hard way of doing it. And we feel like if we get on there and just show our behinds real quick, then, okay, boom, I got it. I done made a quick dollar. But then at what expense?
Yeah, because money literally means nothing.
Well, since we're talking about marketing, who they got to market Popeyes?
Huh. The same people that they have marketing everything else, because black dollars mean more?
Yeah. I saw this commercial, and I'm not trying to get us in no trouble, Lord, please, I'm not trying to get us in no trouble. But it was a commercial that started out, and people were naming their, like, professions. And this white guy was like, I'm a doctor, and I rely on so-and-so to get transported to me in a timely manner. And this Asian lady was like, I do this, and I require, you know, this for my business. And this other guy, he was like, I require this to get to my business. And then the black guy pops on the screen, and then he's like, I work for FedEx. And I was like, then they said, FedEx is higher. I was like, what the? Are you serious?
Really?
I was like, so everybody can have a good, great career, and then you're going to say, I work at FedEx.
Hmm. And which, not to say anything wrong with FedEx, but why would y'all put, and like, you know what you're doing. Like, why would you put all those professions and then mix FedEx and that, it makes it look belittled.
It didn't, and then not only that, but it makes it look like, what color are you trying to reach out to?
Exactly. Like, you know what you're doing, though. Mm-hmm. You knew that image was going to come off like that. And it's like subconscious things that they say and the stuff, and you don't really realize it unless you really tuned in like that. Normal, the average person that constantly watch TV and never really tunes into what's actually going on wouldn't recognize that. And it gets into their brain, and then they start viewing. That's how marketing is. Like, it gets into your brain, and then you start looking at things in that manner, mm-hmm. not even knowing that you're conditioning to see it that way.
Yeah. And I think when it comes down to presenting the culture, I don't think it's ever put out there right. I remember when they had the Mountain Dew commercial back when I was a kid. And remember, the Mountain Dew guy used to be a Caucasian guy. He used to be a Caucasian guy, and he was always going around handing out people Mountain Dews and everything. Well, I don't know if you guys remember when the first melanin guy got the role, which was Gaiman from Soul Plane. when he did his first commercial, you remember his first commercial was of him walking down the street in New York, taking his clothes off and then standing on top of a taxi cab naked, trying to sell Mountain Dew. That was the first commercial. Like, he literally walked down there introducing himself, and he was taking off his clothes, and he stood on top of a taxi cab butt naked and caused an accident. And it was like, what are we saying? Like, even in small moments like that, like when we present the culture, or we tie in a melanin individual, are we saying that either it's going to be our bodies that's going to sell for us, or us acting wild and crazy, or us being involved in sports or aggression? Like, what is it?
That's what it is. It's like a petting zoo. Like, look at me. And like, that's how they did us even back in the day. Like, when they put you up on the pedestal to sell you, it's like, come on now. Like, we literally are still stuck in the same times.
Of course.
Like, it's like, are we gonna ever shake this? Like, at this point, like, we know about it, we talk about it. However, it's like, we don't know where to go to start to change it.
I think we know, but I think in our community, instead of us trying to hit that corner of, let me change the representation, we haven't done that. We kind of just say, oh, if I fall into it and try to twist it, then it's mine. It's like, no, it's still negative. Because if you take spoiled meat and season it still, it's still spoiled meat.
It sure is.
It doesn't change it. You have to completely throw that meat out and go get you some new meat to make sure your body stays healthy. Like, you can't say I'm upholding the melanin community by promoting the negative narratives that they put out for us. They started calling out the N-word, we start calling ourselves the N-word. They start saying we was aggressive and stuff, we start feeding off of it. Now we want to be aggressive, and we try to walk around hood and thug all the time. You know, they say you the angry black woman, and you see the black woman always being aggressive. They say you the angry black man, you see the black man don't want nobody looking at him, trying to touch him, nothing. We feed off of all the negative energy. We never try to really take it and disperse it and break it off and just rebuild it. We don't do that. We don't show them the different vibe. We just be like, oh, that what you think is? All right, I can show you better than I can tell you.
Right.
And then we roll into it.
I understand why, because it's like, you like, okay, well, I tried to, like, y'all literally created this image for me. So it wasn't like we were like that. We were pushed to the point of being aggressive. It's like you poke, poke, poke. And then it's like, dang, when I react now, I'm looking like an aggressive person, when that's not my natural state. So it's like, okay, when I don't do that, but now when I do it, it's like, what do I do? You damned if you do, damned if you don't. So that's what I'm saying, where we don't really know how to go about correcting this narrative that has been drawn out for us.
I would say we in a way know, we just don't want to redo it. We're doing it now. We can't. The melanin playbook is changing a narrative of what you would anticipate coming from melanin-filled individuals. and is taking a platform and using it for something positive and not falling into the narrative of what you expect. And when we are on here discussing topics and things like that, we're, you know, they expect for us to be the angry melanin people. And we're like, no, we gonna tell you what's wrong. We're gonna tell you what we're doing that's also wrong. And then we're gonna provide a solution.
Right.
And that's how we do it. And it's like, you know, the representation in black marketing, and I'm just, that's what I'm gonna call it, black marketing, because that's what it is. When they want something to move quickly, when they want the black dollar to surface, they use black marketing.
Yeah.
And we fall in line and then we go out and we get it, because then they're presenting the culture of what we want and then we go fall into the trap. And so then it's like, we are out here, they presented Jordans and you saw this melanin guy jumping around, hooping, able to run on the field, doing everything in these Jordans. Now they're like the top commodity in our community. Whereas if we had been taking the time to invest in Tesla or stocks or anything along those lines, where could our community have been? I think the problem with black marketing is it's simple to put out and we're easily distracted by it.
Oh yeah. Very easily distracted. And it's we don't want to put in the time to educate ourselves on the other side, because it may not come off as cool. But I can say this about Generation X. And I have made the statement as far as like, they're going to hold you accountable. I can say that because which is understandable, because we had a veil over us. Our parents had a veil over them as far as like the knowledge level, as far as knowing what's going on. Generation X, literally, they do not take slack from anyone. They will stop the whole training.
They are Z,
X or whoever they are, honey. The ones after millennials. I'm a millennial. So they will literally hold you accountable. They I love the brilliance. Like, they love to talk and they love to call you out on your stuff.
And they ask questions.
Yeah, it's very necessary now, because we are getting into a time where it's like you can't no longer just slide stuff past us. Mm-mm. And it's like you either gonna be held accountable for it, or you might want to go and keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Most people nowadays, we're getting off top a little bit, but most older people don't even have an answer for the younger generation.
No, they don't. But it's dope.
We don't have an answer, not because I don't think the knowledge is there. I think it's the pick and choose your battle type situation.
That's stagnant.
You like, because I think we'll have to address some things ourselves to give you an honest answer. So we're not going to do that. But then that's once again, that's why I say we take a part in black marketing too, because we don't market ourselves the way we're supposed to within our own community. And then we anticipate that when they create TV shows or music or award shows, that we're going to be marketed and presented in the right way, because they market us on the Grammys, but how many people win Grammys?
Well, they do, you know, not.
How many melanin individuals actually like win Grammys? You know what I mean? Same as the Oscars. You know, they market us on Oscars. They'll put our name out there as we're one of the people that are up for the awards. Why? Because they want us watching and they want us involved. But then how many of us actually will win an Oscar?
It's the same concept that has been going on since the beginning of this nation. We will tell you that you're available to purchase land, but we may tax you more. We will tell you that, you know, you can get this job, but we'll pay you less. It's always been that way. And it's not going to change unless there's a revamp of the whole system. Everything, the whole mindset has to be revamped.
But you can't revamp without marketing.
True.
Like when it boils down to it, we have to find out, we have to find our way as a as our culture to market ourselves differently. Like if we don't take the time out to rebrand ourselves, because we can't expect for the world to rebrand it. I think that's where that's our downfall. We're anticipating and waiting on the world to rebrand us, and we're not getting out doing it ourselves. And the only time that we try to do any moment or motion of rebranding is when one of us have died. Then we want to hashtag Black Lives Matter. Let's do this. Let's do that. That this individual wasn't that. Don't allow them to brand you that way. And then after that moment has passed, we're right back into the marketing that they set out for us. Yeah. And that's the role we've been playing. That was one reason this topic was really on me to talk about, because, you know, me and mine went into a restaurant to eat on the way back home. And we were the only two melanin individuals in the whole entire restaurant. And some people walked back, they walked past us, they spoke, they, hey, how y'all doing? Where y'all from? And then you got some that give you those looks. You know the looks I'm talking about. So the looks is the ones where they got the preconceived notions about, okay, these are two black men, they might be aggressive. Well, one of them definitely looks aggressive. The other one looks like he's sitting on cherries and rainbows. But, you know.
Don't do my baby like that.
But, you know, I mean, he do look like he may pull out a book for a gun. But, you know, it's like you got me sitting here and I'm automatically viewed as the aggressive one. But that's because that's your conceived notion. That's what has been marketed, that, you know, the melanin man is hostile and volatile and you know, will take the time to break things and show his rage whenever, you know what I mean, when he's not out being a sexual beast, basically, is our synopsis. And it's like, no, that's not the representation. Not all of us are driven by those mindsets. And although some of that stuff has been drilled into some of our melanin minds, let's be 100% honest, it's not what all of us stand for. And I think the ones that don't stand for it need to speak up more. And we need to make sure that we're in the limelight, because right now you get more likes off of being on Instagram and Facebook shirtless and half nude than you would if you say you started a business. And that's because we didn't see that in the culture. We didn't see business owners like that in our culture. So they don't jump, boost and brag, for they don't understand how hard it is to start a business. So to them, they think, oh, he's just working.
Starting is even hard, like just doing it, like
right, you know, coming up with the idea.
I said, for poster board, yeah, I gotta make myself like just, yeah, it's hard.
But they even do that when, like, you start a job, they be like, oh, I got another job, I apply for another job, you probably get a billion likes off of that. But mm-hmm. post up saying, oh, well, you
started your own business,
got my I just got my business plan together and I'm starting my business.
Because with a job, I can get there. With a business, it's not the same. And you know, it's like, I think that's how they do. Like I say, it's black marketing. They don't show us a lot as being the businessman, isn't it? We're the football players, the wrestlers, the basketball players, the thugs, the porn stars, the strippers. That's what they dictate. That's what they show people of color is. You know, we randomly get the lawyer. We randomly get the doctor. You know, we'll get the nurse on a sitcom before we get a doctor. Like, it's what it is. Why? Because they always want to show somebody over us.
Yeah. Uncle, the crazy aunt. Especially Soul Food. Now, Soul Food, when that movie come out, it displayed a lot of family issues. That's a true black family. So
dysfunctional.
Not every family is like that though. So
not every family, but I mean every family has its issues. And I think Soul Food was kind of, it didn't display nobody bad, you think?
I don't think it did. I don't think it gave us any positive feedback.
It stereotyped us.
Because like you go to shows like Family Matters, that was a fantasy, to be honest, of the Madeline family. That was a fantasy. of the melanin family. It was, if we had learned how to communicate, that could have been the melanin family.
Yeah.
But because we lack communication in our community, I think that's why. And when it comes to presenting the culture for us, they present it as broken. And I think we hate to see it as broken because we hate to own up to the fact that for the majority part, it is. And I think that's why we hate to be depicted as that. But then if we go down into it, I mean, a lot, it's a lot of truth to it too. And that's why it angers us.
Yeah.
It's a lot of truth. And it's like, we don't want the world to see it while we trying to fix it. You know, it's like I'm over here trying to get my TV up on the wall, but you come over here and keep seeing this TV on the floor. Stop coming in my house. Like, wait till I get the cup.
True.
And that's why we keep talking about they can't come to the barbecue. I think the barbecue literally is that backyard that got all that crap around the gate and crap. Like, I think that's the barbecue. And we only let certain people see all our stuff like that.
Yeah. I went to this lady house today at work. She opened that door. She cracked it. She said, I'm coming out. And she came right out as soon as I walked out. I said, it must be dirty in there.
Mm-hmm. But that's how it is. We don't see for them.
You
for
can
them,
live in it, but you can't. Well, you don't want nobody to know.
That's how it is. Because we cover up the dark sides of us, and in that manner, that's why we can't present the culture the way we wanted it to be presented. Because to be honest and very just transparent, we don't hold ourselves to the same standard we did civil rights and before. We were holding ourselves with prestige, and it was certain things that we wouldn't have done because we didn't want to fall into stereotypes. We were concerned with stereotypes. So it was like we didn't do it. Now we stop being concerned and start embracing, and it just put us in even more of a negative light. We, you know, you go to prison, you sag your pants in prison. Now we outside of it. And now every guy, you know, melanin guy walking the streets think it's cool to sag. And it's like, no, it's not. Like, you know, did you know the origins behind it? And when they do documentaries and then they see that and then they see you on the street and then you get mad at somebody try to figure you up, but you falling into the representation.
True.
You don't, because you don't know what it stands for. You know, same as women. You know, they'll wear short skirts, short shorts, down to where your booty cheeks are hanging out at the bottom, this and that, but then turn around in the same sentence and say, I don't want to be sexualized. But that's the market. That's what you're marketing.
Why he looking at me like this?
That's what you're marketing.
I feel a little indifferent about that. I wouldn't say, because when it comes to sexualizing someone, and you could look at something like, okay, so if a woman walking down the street and, you know, she got all her business out in the street, and okay, people look
at her OnlyFans is in her back pocket.
People can look at her and say whatever they want to themselves. But when you approach someone with those stereotypes, now you're opening up the door for them to give you the rebuttal. You could have simply kept that to yourself, and that could have just been your image of them. But when you bring it to them, now it's like, okay, well, that's not what I was doing. That's not
what we do.
I just like to be free.
The problem with it
is a different is a different conversation. And it's the same thing that goes with the melanin community. I may be rough around the edges, but that doesn't necessarily mean that gives you the right to provoke me to be angry. It's like, you know that I'm like that. So what, like, you're trying to use it as a weapon for me to give that to you. I really don't agree quite with that as far as like that comparison, because
I feel like it's what you put out there. And I feel like we allowed ourselves to put that image out there, and they took it and they ran with it and it molded to us. Because at one point we did get fed up and we did start doing things. And you got to think about that angry moment came from the first time we looted in our neighborhoods, and they held that to us forever and a day. And even now, when somebody, you know, gets shot or killed, this and that, what's our first thing we want to go do? Loot, tear it, burn down. So we fall into the stereotype of being aggressive. And then now we're free with it. And we're like, I don't care. Like, if that's what it is, let's go do it. And I mean, that's what's put out there. I use that analogy because I feel like that's just like me personally, and I'm a black man. And if I get up and I walk outside of my house with no shirt on, gray sweats, and you can see whatever, like, I'm opening myself up to that. Like, I can't sit here and say, oh, I don't want to be sexualized, but I wore that out knowing what was going to be showing, knowing people was going to be looking at me, knowing that that was a moment where somebody could have rolled up on me and, hey, either try to touch, grab, do whatever. Not saying that it's right, but I still open myself to that situation.
I understand that as far as being open, but that's a whole societal thing. Like, we need to change the way we respond to people, because now it's getting into accountability.
Like, but see, we're relying on that for the other person. And I think that's the big, like, lesson with this topic, is we're relying on people outside of us to act accordingly. And we're not teaching, and we're not being descriptive of what we want. We're not being vocal, period, to be honest. We're just getting out, and we feel like if I do it, then they'll see a different side. Versus we got people with heavy platforms that are not getting on there having those groundbreaking conversations to say, hey, all melanin people ain't like that. The hood is not like this. Not all of the hood people get shot every day. I know you've been at home watching Boys in the Hood, but the hood ain't looked like that since 1994. So I don't know what reference you're using. If you sit at home and you watching the Hughleys, that is definitely not us, because we're not going to move into a white neighborhood and talk about our white neighbors every moment we get. Like, that's not going to be us. You know, and we're not going to be like Living Single, because all of us may didn't go to college. Doesn't mean we're not successful, but that's not us. You know, now Insecure, yeah, you can log it down in the books. That's us. I ain't going to see him lie. We're not going to shake that. That's us if you log down Insecure. Because all of us that went through moments just like Issa, where we was in a house, unemployed, couldn't even afford to buy a dining table or decorate the house. And some of us did start businesses, and we struggled at first. And then we got our flow, and we got good. And you got to think about it. Even what we just talked about, Issa became a businesswoman. How many of her friends at first rallied behind her? Almost none. It took a minute before they got involved. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I say it's a true depiction of us. It really is. Yeah. And I think we need to remarket and rebrand ourselves and start presenting the culture in a different light and stop doing it. Because I'm sorry, hip hop doesn't tell our story anymore. It doesn't. It doesn't. R&B doesn't tell our story anymore.
It doesn't.
None of the genres of music that are out now tell our story. TV does not tell our story. Movies does not tell our story. So we as individuals in the community got to get up and start opening our mouths, and quickly, because if another generation come behind this one, they're not going to know anything that exists within the melanin community, because none of us say anything about it. We don't share the stories. Mm-hmm. So their representation is going to be from the Parkers and Moesha and Fresh Prince and all this other stuff. And it's like, that ain't us, sweetheart. That's not us.
Right.
True. Because that's how they is. They go watch, you know, those movies and they think, oh, okay, I know how to interact. No, you don't. You really don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
When they come with us, you be like, what?
Because, baby, we done been through slavery and we still don't know how to interact with some of y'all. So, I mean.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it's the being honest truth. But that was the main reason. Like, I feel like we need to. So, we're not saying that, we're blaming anybody in particular. But we are saying that we need to. It's all our faults. All our faults. We're not gonna just do it. Like, this is us taking blame collectively, you know. So if there's a check to be involved, we need to split that collectively. So we can collect our right.
Collect that. We can't say her 40 acres.
Definitely waiting on the 40 acres. I gotta send a letter. I need to talk to the overhead. I need to talk to the manager.
The way we going, we can't afford 1 acre, so you might not get that little house.
Right. I'm sitting here thinking, like, where they going to find 40 acres for all these people? Well, just they make mine somewhere new. Just, can you split mine? Because I want a little bit of land near the beach. And then I need some, like, country land. So
just give me a private island.
Nah, because that'd get washed away, baby. Mm-hmm.
If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I'm good.
I don't know what I'm going to do with a
man. I'd rather die alone in peace than to be alone.
Die in peace.
I'd rather go in peace.
I had to figure out what I got to do with that mule, though. I'm going to set it up somewhere.
I'm going to light him up if I'm on that island. I'm going to have to eat him.
No.
I got to see what else food on there first. That mule might become some meat.
Don't eat it.
They be like, what happened to your meat? I ate that thing 3 years ago. Mm-mm. He was tangy. Nah, but that's good. So this has been a great topic for us to sit and talk about. So just recap, you guys, like, black marketing, it starts within the community. Take the time to make sure you're marketing yourself in the best light. Don't allow people to brand you and put you out there to be a prop. This is why we call it black marketing, presenting the culture in the right way. It's okay to take ownership if you haven't been doing it, and it's never too late to rebrand yourself.
Tenfold.
Right. Eyes, you want to leave them with anything?
I would say this, you know, don't, you know, feel like, even if you are rough around the edges, because I don't like using words like calling my people ghetto and all that other stuff. I don't like all that. So, you know, if you are a little rough around them edges, don't feel like, you know, you have to water yourself down. But also understand that, just like Hercules said, you know, whatever you present, I get that. However, you know, you can make that work in your favor, because we are strong people. You know, because we try to survive. So, you know, you can market that in a better light. We just got to have techniques, read up, research. We got to do all that. And we can change the way people view us. It's simple. Just got to do the work.
Info, don't give up. Keep going. That's all I got, because my house just about burnt down with this ring light.
What? Well, with that,
how they gonna market that? They gonna be
like, I'm sorry. I love y'all, though.
Donate to Queen. We gonna put our Cash App up there, because our house is on flames right now. So
I love y'all. You know, I was.
And if you want anybody to blame, it's Duke Energy.
But that really did happen, though. It was like, and then the ring light went off. And it was hot.
I'm about to have it. Oh. All right, y'all. We're gonna get out of here before people get set on fire. So we're not gonna do that, because we don't want no Salem witch trials kind of things happen up in here. But with that being said, make sure you're tuning in to the Melanin Playbook. It's on every platform. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Check out our personal pages. You got Lika Baby, Cassie Eyes, Paul_Hercules. We even have I Am Jamez. He's not here tonight, but I Am Jamez. Make sure you check all of us out. Make sure you keep checking out the page. Show us love. Go on our website, themelaninplaybook.com. Make sure you're signed up for our email list. Get all the good energy and everything flowing. We love you guys. We love you, love you, love you. And we look forward to
love and life.
Yes, and we look forward to the next episode of the Melanin Playbook. Here's us checking out.
Love and light, baby.